The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program as we continue making our way through the book of Isaiah in chapter 48 with a message titled Prophecy of Deliverance. So we would encourage you to stay tuned and get your Bibles ready to follow along with us. For those of you following us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along as well. But before I continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Again, Lord, we thank you for getting together here, studying your word, and revealing yourself to us, Lord, so we may know you better and follow you well. We thank you for your prophecies given in the book of Isaiah. We pray, Lord, we'll take them to heart, and all those who've tuned in, Lord, will grow and flourish in you. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Again, you're tuning into A Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista and Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of prophecy of deliverance as we look at Isaiah chapter 48. But before continuing, I welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another amazing opportunity for us to do another great program.
Yeah, I love your encouragement, brother, and you're always looking at the glass half full. It is awesome, man, to be able to get together every week and study God's Word with you and with all those tuned in. You all are a blessing to us, and if this program is a blessing to you, Vic, how can they contact us so that we could hear some feedback? Well, you know, Vic and I would love to do feedback. We're not quite at the end of Isaiah, but what would you like us to tackle next? You know, if you've got some ideas, I know you can contact me through the webminister at lamblion.com, and what's the phone number?
Oh, Nate, and they can also text or call 305-992-9537. We welcome text messages and conversations. So that would be fantastic, Nate, if someone would take that challenge and we can hear from them.
Yeah, yeah. Again, give us feedback. You know, it's funny that podcasting has gotten so popular lately. Well, you know, Vic and I have been doing this our 16th year. So, you know, I don't know why people act like podcasting is something new. Well, this program's been on many times. And so, folks, if you want to go to an archive of our program, we invite you to lamblion.com or christinprophecy.org. Go under Media and Podcasts. We've got the whole archive there. And if you're tuned in through Google or Apple or Pray.com or even RSS feed, you can dive into past episodes there as well. And so we invite you to go ahead, come to our website, christinprophecy.org. You'll be blessed.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, and I think it's just a lot of fun, Nate, being able to hear from our audience. And I have a special going on right now. The first 50 callers or text people will get a new iPhone. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, whoa, okay. I don't know if we have the budget for that, but...
No, we're just joking, but it would be a blessing to hear from you.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's a payment, spiritual blessings.
That's right. And I hope people know that we're always joking because we definitely don't try to sell you stuff. This is no gimmicks. We just give you the word of God. Right, Nate?
Amen, brother. Amen.
And speaking of the word of God, that's what we've been doing as we have been journeying through the book of Isaiah. Oh, Nate, I'm sorry. Maybe someone was new and they didn't know how to get a hold of our resources. Might we be able to share that with them real quick?
Yeah, again, go to our website at christinprophecy.org. We have a wealth of Bible prophecy teaching information there, articles, TV shows, radio programs, podcasts. You can sign up for our e-newsletter, which comes out every other week. One went out today, actually, on how to be prepared for the rapture. And in a nutshell, get saved. That's how you prepare for the rapture. And Praise. So, yeah, check us out, christinprophecy.org.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate, for sharing that. Grab hold of those resources and grow in your relationship with the Lord. So, Nate, as we continue in chapter 48, another fascinating passage that we titled Prophecy of Deliverance, I'm going to go ahead and pick it up in verses 1 through 5, Nate. And if you don't mind reading 6 through 11, in case someone doesn't have a Bible, we'll be reading from the New King James.
Let's do it.
Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel. You have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness, for they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly, I did them, and they came to pass, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was as iron sinew, and your brow bronze. Even from the beginning, I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my molded image have commanded them.
You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. And before this day, you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Surely you did not hear, and surely you did not know. Surely from long ago, your ear wasn't open. For I knew that you would deal very treacherously, and you were called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake, this God talking, I will defer my anger, and for my praise I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own name, for my own sake, I will do it. And how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another.
Nathan, what an amazing passage, just filled with what God says he will do, what I have declared, what I will show you. And I just love the word of God because it's so prophetic and how God guides us through it and warns us ahead of time if we're listening.
Yeah, and I got to admit, I had trouble with this chapter. I had to look up and try to understand what he's trying to say here. And basically what he's saying is okay, I am God, and since I know all, I don't want you running to your idols, your demons, your sorcerers. I want you to know that I prophesied these things long ago. It's recorded. It's fact. You can't refute them, so that you know that I alone am God. And so we see this strained relationship all throughout the book of Isaiah as the Lord has chosen Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants to be his chosen people. But they continually rebel against him. And so it's very, you could hear the frustration in God's voice. You know, I've done nothing but show you love and take care of you. I have to, like a child, punish you now and then when you go away. But you repeatedly reject me, even after I've saved your lives miraculously all this time. I've prophesied your future all this time, and you just won't listen. And that's why he compares them to stiff-necked, iron-sinewed, bronze-brown. In other words, they're like metal. They're hard-headed. They won't accept God. Why? Because they don't like his moral law. They do not want to follow Torah. And so this is where we get this fight here between God and Israel. And to this day, folks, that the Israelis, we don't call them Israelites anymore, are stiff-necked. They refuse to accept Jesus as Messiah, but that's going to change when the tribulation comes.
Nathan, you made such a good point, and sometimes you wonder, why are people so hard-headed? Why don't they listen? I mean, what is going on? And it just shows us the grip that the enemy has, Satan, in this spiritual warfare over the minds and the hearts of people. It's like chains of iron that can only be broken through prayer and the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And in the case of the Israelite, for them, it came in a way of discipline, using other nations to crush them, to send them into exile, if you will, for many years, almost like a way to get them to recognize their sinful nature. And even then, right, Nathan, it was a challenge for the people to repent.
Yeah, and it really boils down to what Jesus will teach in John 3:19. He says, and this is the condemnation, that the light, in other words, himself, has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You know, why did the Israelites continually be stiff-necked and fight against God? Why do we Gentiles are stiff-necked and fight against God? Because we're evil beings. We were born in sin. We're born in rebellion. We love to do evil. We love the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And so why would we want to follow God? And that's why as much as the Lord provided the law to the Old Testament people so they would know the difference between good and evil, they couldn't overcome, many of them, their desire to rebel. And that's why when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the dead, he sends his Holy Spirit, who taps us on the shoulder, so to speak, and calls us to him, and then sustains us in our faith by dwelling in our heart. And so it's a whole better thing that we have now than the ancient Israelites did, because while they had the law, they couldn't abide by it because they did not have the Holy Spirit and the redemption and the process of sanctification working in their lives.
You know, Nathan, some people rather their ears to be tickled by fantasies and fables than the truth. Today you tell people that you are a sinner and you need to repent, that you're not, and they don't want to go back to your church. They don't want to listen to the program. They're going to turn you off. They want to hear about prosperity. They want to hear about how good they are. They want to hear about the blessings that God has for them. But as soon as you start challenging people and telling them, hey, you need to repent. Your lifestyle is not right. You need to spend time with God. Suddenly they tune you out, they turn you off, and they call you all sorts of names. And the prophets, not only that, but the Bible says they stone some of them, they kill some of them, they saw some of them in half. And boy, I tell you, we're living in those times, Nathan, that it's hard to stand for the truth, but we need to.
Yeah, because they loved evil. I remember being on an atheist podcast. He invited me twice a number of years ago, and atheists tend to lie a lot, and they don't believe there's a God, they say, but in the end you always find out they believe in God. But this one was refreshingly honest, and when he said, "I just want God to leave me alone, to I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want to do what he wants me to do." And it was a breath of fresh air, and the fact that it states exactly what the problem with humans are. We want to do whatever we want to do, and we don't want God crimping our style. And yet, the things we do are the things that are killing us, and sending us to hell. God's offering a way to rescue us from our sins, to give us eternal life so that we don't have to go to hell. And what do? Time and time again, we swat his hand away. We're truly a miserable, miserable race because of our sins.
Nathan, and it doesn't matter what God does to show himself, miracles, and people say, well, if God only did this, or if I only saw this, then I will believe. Yet throughout history, God has constantly been doing that. He's been proclaiming through Isaiah, he's been proclaiming through Ezekiel. Verse 3 said, suddenly I did them and they came to pass. So the things that God did to with hopes that this nation will turn and recognize it was God, would just be it. The question was, would a nation be born in one day? And there they are, right, Nathan? A nation like Israel that was scattered throughout the world, 1948, they became a nation here. And you would think that the Jewish people will look back at their history and say, wow, look what God has done, and believe, and yet they don't.
Even today, when they fight their wars, and 300 drones come from Iran and are about to destroy Israel, and they all get shot down, all of them, without any destruction. I mean, absolutely miraculous, right? And a few people say, "Wow, something's different," and then they go back to their disbelief again, or their unbelief, and it's like again and again and again. God shows them a miracle and they forget it. And it's not just the Israelis, Gentiles too. How many times has God shown himself in our lives? And yet, he's constantly calling us to him. He wants to redeem us. He wants to have a personal relationship with us. He wants to live in with us in heaven forever. I mean, the God of the universe wants that. And yet we love the things of this life too much. We love our sin. And yet the sin is so fleeting. The pleasure is it just, as you get older, there's no joy in it anymore. It ruins us. It destroys our family and our friendships and our relationships. It destroys our body. And then eventually it sends us to hell. And we choose that over eternal life. How wretched are we really? I mean, my goodness.
I know, Nathan. It's a sad state. I remember back in my years being in the state, as we read here in Isaiah chapter 48, 4, because I knew that you were obstinate, and your neck was an iron sinew, and and your bronze. I remember running from God in the same situation, Nathan, just blind as I could be, didn't want to know anything about God, just trying to do my own thing. And the Lord said, "All right, Vic, continue in that direction. Let's see where you're headed," right?
Yeah. And it
And I
ended
re
up being destroyed. I mean, the Israelites had to be banished for 70 years in Babylon before even a remnant of them was willing to return to him and then go back to the land of Israel. That even a remnant turned to God through exile. I mean, it really shows how stubborn. I've been reading about cognitive dissonance lately. Are you familiar with that? It's where you can hold two opposing beliefs and you try to justify them. And we see society sick with it, especially all that's going up and on in Minneapolis right now. You know, people justifying that they're okay with illegals, criminals, murderers, rapists, child molesters. They're fighting for their rights to stay in the country at the same time that they know that these people are, they wouldn't want them around their families. They're bad. And so they've got this cognitive dissonance where they're trying to justify having both sets of opposing views at the same time. And what it re results in, psychologists I was reading, is that mental illness. Whereas they're finding that 50% of people in America today that have cognitive dissonance suffer also with mental illnesses. And again, it's a point that our sins are killing us. Our sins are killing us.
Wow, Nathan, what a condition we are finding ourselves in. And truly, that's what it is. We live in a great country. America has some amazing things. But let me tell you, the majority lately, it's getting darker and darker. And unfortunately, people don't seem to want to see it. But the Bible says that that is a sign of the end times. A lot of deception everywhere. While we're saying peace and safety, I'm okay, you're okay, sudden destruction comes upon and is going to come upon individuals. And I think, Nathan, that's the sad situation, is that that's what it's going to have to take, much like the nation of Israel. Suddenly they were destroyed, they were scattered, and they have to rethink their their lives. And we want to say to anyone that's tuned into this program, don't let it come to that for you. God loves you so much that he has Nathan and I right now sharing this message with you ahead of time, so that you don't have to go through a lot of the challenges that many do because they don't want to listen. So we would encourage you to stop and pause, take inventory of your life, and if there's any area of your lives that you need to turn over to the Lord, let him help you. Nathan, there's nothing better for people to just come to God without having to go through all the challenges and trials. And that's also a wonderful testimony of people who have heard and they've listened and they repented, they considered, and they didn't have to go through some of the challenges that some of us had to go because we were a little bit hard-headed and stiff-necked, if you will.
Yeah. And this is why it's beautiful in verse 11, or excuse me, 10, it says, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. In other words, you know, you keep rebelling against me. I have to punish you so that you turn back to me. But his true anger, his full anger, he says, he will defer it. Why? For his name's sake. You know, God put his stamp of approval on the Israelites. They were his people. They were supposed to represent him to the world, just like the church today. Those of us who are saved, are members of the church universal. We have God stamped on. We are the representatives out there. But you know, the church has some problems too. You could read about them in Revelation chapters 2 through 3. So this great time of wrath that God is bringing to the planet one day will be his wrath of God. But he's holding it off. Why? Because he's giving us time to go through these afflictions, to learn about him, and so be safe so we won't have to endure his wrath one day.
Nathan, and that's why I'm so thankful for the word of God and also for the admonition in his word. As we look at the following verses in Isaiah chapter 48, we see God continues to reveal himself to his people and proclaim to them their future. Will you be able to pick it up for us there, Nate? Verses 12 through 17, and I'll read 18 through 22 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Yes, and this is where God again gives him promise. This is his ancient plan to redeem Israel. He says this in verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I called to them, they stand up together. All of you, assemble yourselves and hear. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yes, I have called him, I have brought him, and his way will prosper. Come near to me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, I was there, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Ooh, thus says the Lord your Redeemer. This is, folks, a reference to the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go.
Verse 18, oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants also would have been like the sand, and offsprings of your body like the grain of sand. His name will not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans with the voice of singing. Declare, proclaim this, utter it to the ends of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob, and they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Admonitions and encouragements, right, Nate?
Yeah, you got a mix there. Again, as we read in chapter 47, God's going to rise up the Babylonians, as a new world power. They will be his instrument of wrath against the Israelites for their continued rebellion against him. But he's promised them that he will redeem them. He says, even says too, he said, if you obeyed me, my goodness, you would be like a superpower at this time. You know, your people would be everywhere and there'd be joy and peace and food and no enemies. But since you rejected me, by the time that Isaiah's reading this, the northern tribes are gone. Half of Israel existed. And even then, mostly in the capital, Jerusalem. It was a sad little kingdom, but it could have been an empire if they had followed the Lord. But that day will come where he will bring Israel to his faith in him, and they will be a servant people who will serve him during his kingdom, and they will get all the land that the Lord promised. They will be the superpower during his kingdom. Vic, I love, we quote this a lot, verse 22. There is no peace for the wicked.
Oh, I know, Nathan. And isn't that the truth, really? There isn't. And what a contrast when you open this up with verse 12, because he opens up by saying, listen to me. It's almost like, hey, pay attention. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my call. I am he, I am the first, and I am and also the last. And throughout the Bible, in Revelation and other places, right, Nate? It's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. Calling people, and for the wicked, there is no peace, there is no hiding, there is nothing that will bring peace into your life. So many are turning to alcohol, drugs, pornography, power, riches, to try to find that peace that surpasses all understanding. And yet, verse 22 says, there is no peace. But notice for who? For the wicked. God always makes a distinction, right, Nate, before the righteous and the wicked.
Yes, we could turn to our sins, we can rebel against God, but our lives will be miserable. Sure, you might get a little few fleeting pleasures in life from your sin, but in the end, it's coming to get you. You know, I think of Bill and Hillary Clinton, who have brought so much misery and death and pedophilia and destruction and to everybody throughout their lives. I mean, horrible, horrible people. I'm happy to say that, you know, it seems like finally it's their time. It's finally time to be pulled in front of Congress and have to count for their many, many sins. Now, whether they'll get punished or not, we might have to wait for the Lord to do that. And I'm not trying to be political here, folks. I'm just using them as example. But you know, when you abuse your power and you get it seems like you can get away with murder and death and abuse, well, there's no rest for the wicked. You live in fear all the time of judgment coming. Because eventually it will.
Wow, Nathan, and that is so true. And that's why people that have power, God has entrusted them to certain things, What wisdom is there when they recognize where that power has come from? We know our president had a few near calls in his life, and that also helped him recognize that God is truly in control. When a bullet just misses your ear, right, Nathan? I mean, your head, from centimeters away. And I think sometimes God uses different methods to get our attention, but some think that it's all them. They think that they're in control, that is their power. Israel thought that that was the case, and God showed them otherwise. And I think today, again, it's the same message for those that are part of this program, or maybe you're listening to this program in the future. Come near to me. Hear this, verse 16, says the Lord. I have spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. Isn't verse 16, Nathan, just amazing?
Yeah, this is a messianic passage. At verse 17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity speaking here. And we see that all throughout the book of Isaiah, especially when we get to Isaiah 53. The Lord is revealing himself to them as not just Yahweh God who gave them the Ten Commandments, but the actual eternal God who's the Redeemer, the lover of their souls, and who will eventually give his life as a sacrifice for mankind's sins. And folks, part of the reason that we do these studies is so we can understand God better. And some will say, like Andy Stanley, we should disconnect the Old Testament. Well, you're disconnecting the very words of Jesus Christ if you disconnect the Old Testament. He wants us to know who he is, and he's revealing himself here in verse 17.
Nathan, good point. Again, we're left verse 18. Oh, that you had heeded my commands, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the rivers of the sea. Nate, I'm saddened with some of these new pastors, much like you mentioned, Andy Stanley, where their dad, such different versions of preachers, And again, like many that are discluding or not wanting to believe in what is called the rapture of the church, some don't want to hear about the Old Testament. Yet, look what we're reading in the Old Testament. Can you imagine if we didn't have the Old Testament, verse 18, or that you had heeded my commandment, then your peace would have been like a river. In other words, throughout the entire Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, it's all about the Lord speaking to his people. And what a wonderful passage is for those that are listening to this program today, because today is the day of salvation. And I pray that you would heed his commandments today so that you can receive that peace that surpasses all understanding. So, Nathan, the Bible does not get old. It's the same word.
Excellent point. We talk about some people say they're red letter Christians. They only read the red letters of the Bible. Well, if you're not reading the Old Testament, then you're missing the fact that Jesus is God, and therefore all the Bible, since it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, is red letter. But if you need real examples of red letters, verse 16 and 17, Jesus is speaking right there. And so if you want to know more about Jesus, then I'm glad you're going along with us in the book of Isaiah because we're reading him right there.
I love that, Nathan, but that's a very good point because the reality is that, we don't need a highlighter. If we had a highlighter, we would highlight the whole Bible because it's all about Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, right? Right there, he
Oh,
says, the
yes.
beginning and the end, the first and the last. The whole Bible is about Jesus, and we hope that you can grab hold of that. And Nate, like we always do, I know that our programs go very quickly, but maybe there's someone out there and they're contemplating a relationship with the Lord. Maybe what you and I have said has resonated in their hearts and they don't have a relationship with Him. Would you be able to guide them in how they can start that journey today?
Oh, yes. Well, we learn in the Bible that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we know that the wrath of God remains on us as long as we are not saved. What does a saved means? It means that God has rescued you from the penalty, the just penalty of your sins, which is eternal death and hell. And he did so by coming as a man, dying on the cross for our sins, and then beating death, and then resurrecting from the dead. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he promises you that your sins will be forgiven, the guilt will be washed away, and you'll inherit eternal life with him. So if you're ready to take that, and I pray today is the day of salvation, pray from your heart, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I've been in rebellion against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. And Jesus promises you will be saved, and you will inherit eternal life.
Praise the Lord. Thanks so much, Nate, for sharing that wonderful invitation. And maybe you accepted Nathan's invitation today. We would love to hear from you. If you want to give us a call or text us at 305-992-9537, that will be wonderful. Or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. We will rejoice with you in this wonderful journey that you have just started. And know that God loves you and God has a wonderful plan for your life. Thanks, Nate, for sharing that. And of course, I hope you have enjoyed our study in the book of Isaiah. We have run out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a great week.